mind. You know, familiarity can breed contempt, can it? Harry, how long have y'all been married? I know you're 80, you're upcoming soon. How long have y'all been married? 50, how many?
51.
I know you didn't hear me. I got you back, brother. Oh, no, sir, I'd never leave you out like that. I got you with 51 years. And I mean, who would have ever thought? Peggy, you certainly didn't think 51 years ago that it would turn out like this, did you? You know, even I think we're going to move on with I've still got you back. Yeah, with, before I set myself on fire. Because familiarity would breed contempt. And honestly, if we look through the lens and saw the whole picture, would we even start? Are you with me? If we look through the lens and saw the whole picture, would we even start? But the grace of God only allows us to see enough to keep us moving along. But the choice is still ours, and it's about choice today in Matthew's gospel. Lord of the living, open our hearts and minds by the very power of your Holy Spirit as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, that each of us would hear with ears anew, each of us would see with eyes afresh the joy and the love that you have for each of us today. Open our hearts and minds for the reading and proclaiming of God's word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew's birth story, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. As I read, I invite you to listen for God's word to you. It's written. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save their people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. May God add his blessings to the hearing and the heeding of his holy word. Amen. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? And as I look out, I recognize that most of us can resonate. Most of us can empathize with at least two of the major themes in Matthew's gospel today. The first being the lens of marriage, and the other being the lens of your firstborn child. Do you remember that? In fact, what I want us to do, this is so cool. I don't know who did it, but thank you. Underneath every pew, there are a set of metaphorical binoculars. And so I need you to reach under your pew. I'll wait. And grab your metaphorical binoculars. Just reach under the pew. I'll call names. I don't care. Reach under, yeah, and hold them up. And through the left lens, you see your marriage. You with me? Now, familiarity breeds contempt, but we've got to go all the way back to the beginning where Mary and Joseph were. Are you with me? We're looking in anticipation. We're looking through a lens of script. I sort of have an idea of what it's going to look like. I know it's going to be rich beyond my wildest dreams. I sort of have a picture of what my marriage is going to look like. Are you with me? You got to look through your binoculars. Don't look at me. Look, it's in your left lens. You see it? And then through the right lens, look at the birth of your first child. Now, some of you, it's going to take a while, so we'll wait. I'm kidding. Mostly. But that right lens is the lens of your firstborn. Some of you don't have children. You're not even married. Look through the left and the right lens with a holy anticipation. Begin to figure out the script, are you with me, of what your marriage is going to look like, hopefully in the future, of what the birth of your firstborn is going to look like. It's important that we do that. It's what Mary and Joseph thought. How many of us looking through the lens of marriage and our firstborn would have written this particular narrative? Really? If you would, you're free to go. It's going to be a waste of time for you this morning. But Advent is a period of waiting and reflection and expectation. I guess I'd become familiar with the text to the point of it being contemptuous for me. Oh, yeah, it's a birth story. I mean, it's what you do the Sunday before Christmas, yada, yada, yada. Mary and Joseph, I get it. All of a sudden pregnant, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born, da-da-da-da-da, Joseph, stepfather, whatever. Yeah, let's get on to Christmas, man. Come on. But do you think it's anything they would have anticipated back in the day before all this happened, as they were peering into what would be in their own marriage and in the own birth of their first child? You with me? It's crazy, isn't it? I was reflecting this morning, 30 years and a month of marriage. I was reflecting, I was standing in admiration and awe of my bride. The stamina that woman has. She chased me for years, and then she finally, she wore me out. She absolutely wore me out. Phone calls, letters. I said, honey, after the third date, what's it going to take with you? She said, well, how about a ring and a wedding? I said, you got it. You're wearing me out. So I was looking at our marriage and anticipating, and I had underdreamed it. I had underdreamed it when 30 years ago I began to look forward through the left lens of my binocular. And certainly the firstborn, after three miscarriages, today, 22 years ago, 6.5 hours, our firstborn, a son. It was miraculous. I didn't think it was going to happen. For God's sake, it was hope against hope. Standing there with my bride and nothing to offer but tears, I couldn't do a thing in her brokenness, in her being without hope. And then I looked through the lens of my bright binocular again, and hope was reborn against hope. And there he is. It's 5 o'clock this morning. I snuck in. He doesn't know it. It'll embarrass him, but he's a Citadel cadet. He'll get over it quickly and quietly. And he was asleep. He was never small. He's just been young. And I went in at exactly 5, and I kissed the back of that head. And I remembered. But I never saw it on this side. Back when I picked up my binoculars of marriage and firstborn, I never in a million years would have seen that. Are you with me? Mary and Joseph wouldn't have seen this either. They don't stand in the place we stand for heaven's sake. It's a week away. Let's get on with it already. But Mary and Joseph are looking through the same binoculars at what God is about to do. And you know what strikes me about this story? Is nobody ever asked Joseph how he must have felt. It's like we take Mary and Joseph and just put them on a pedestal. There was no thought process whatsoever. Mary just said, oh, wonderful. Joseph said, hey, that's pretty cool. And they stepped right into believing. But nobody ever asked Joseph, how do you feel about that? He never got a chance to say, and if he did, it's not recorded in the scripture. Are you with me? Was he angry? So, Holy Spirit, excuse me? Really? What was he troubled? Was he in disbelief? Had he ever really contemplated what being a foster dad would be when he looked through the lens of what his marriage was going to be? I mean, really, would he ever have contemplated it? See, JoJo, that's paraphrased, he's got a big problem, y'all. It's not so much a big problem in our world today because the prescription, the formula that we're used to sometimes gets followed and sometimes doesn't. You with me? It's sort of like you meet her, like I met my bride, the old I want you to meet somebody trick. And the next thing you know, she got it. And then the pursuit of me began. I'm kidding. But good friends, all of a sudden it takes a little bit different turn. And then you kind of understand where it's going. And you ask her to marry you, and then you get married, and then you move into jobs. And the next thing you know, the firstborn comes along, and on it goes. You with me? It's an amazing progression. It's not so much in the world today, but in this day. It was a Levitical law. It was a prescription. It was a proscription. This is the way you do it. And if you don't, there are tremendous repercussions. So to understand the process, Mary was engaged to Joseph. Usually between 10 and 12, parents would get together and say, you know, I think our daughter with your son would be a great... I agree. And they arranged the wedding, and immediately, I hope you said what I said, well, wait a minute, Jack. I have individual rights here. What if I don't agree with it? And I asked a Jewish man one time, I said, so what the heck? You're prearranging marriage? What about me? And I love her. If I don't love her, he said, you fell in love? I said, yes, sir. He said, what if you fall out of love? Don't you understand that the human heart is fickle and not to be trusted solely by 12-year-olds? The power and the magnitude of God's gift of love? You need help. You need a community of faith guiding you, and we're here to help you do that. And so they'd be engaged. And then came the betrothal. They had an opportunity to talk about it. And if you don't like it, then you had a chance to break it. If not, it was ratified, and you might as well have been married. And that's why Joseph was going to put her away discreetly, privately. Joseph was a quintessential gentleman. She was already embarrassed. He was already embarrassed. And he was responding to his righteousness, his right way of living according to the law. But God was fixing to do a double miracle. He was going to transform the understanding of the Levitical law to a wider understanding of God's grace that will not be limited to our misconception at first glance. When we think we know what marriage and that firstborn is going to look like. God will continue to invade our misperception of what God could and would do. Jojo had a problem. I mean, he's walking down the street, and his bride-to-be is walking beside or to the left or to the right, and someone comes up and goes, Jojo, Mary, congratulations. Been hitting the old Christmas bonbons? Oh, can you imagine, and we'll have to imagine, but can you imagine what Joseph must have felt? And nobody asked him. He believed it. Mary believed it. But we don't know how poor Joseph felt. Now, if you go to Luke's gospel and borrow from chapter 2, we have a little bit of understanding how Mary must have felt. You with me? She's petrified. I mean, it's just Gabriel. Out of nowhere. Mary, don't be afraid. So we know she was afraid. It wasn't what she dreamed. She was afraid. She was petrified. And the angel said, don't be afraid. God has smiled upon you. You found favor. You're going to conceive a child and you're going to give birth to a son. You're going to call him Jesus, Emmanuel. He'll save his people from their sins. Hallelujah. Women, y'all are better at articulating your emotions. You with me? Men, we're like kind of brain dead. It's not that we don't want to articulate our emotion. Men, help me here. It just takes a little bit longer. But we don't know how Joseph must have felt. So can you imagine the choice that he's left with? Well, I kind of thought my marriage and wedding would be like this. And I sort of thought the firstborn, my firstborn would look like this. And whoa, wait a minute. God just invades their lives. And immediately we put Mary and Joseph up on that pedestal. Oh, y'all are amazing. Hallelujah. You know, I had a man tell me not long ago, he said, dude, paraphrase, if an angel appeared to me like that in a dream, let me tell you something, you and me straight up, I'd never doubt again. I said, really? No, sir, I'd never doubt. Man, if God did something like that for me, I'd never have another doubt. I'd follow him to the ends of the earth. And I said, that's amazing. What do you do with the resurrection? What do you mean? I said, you don't have the birth, but you have the resurrection. I never thought about that. But it's the familiarity with the story. What do we do when God transcends our wildest belief? Well, we believe. Well, sure we believe. I wanted to do this at first service, but Beth wouldn't let me. I want to do it at this service, but Beth won't let me either. But if we passed a secret ballot around and we said, based on the scripture today and the presentation of the doctrine of Immaculate Conception of the Virgin Birth, based on what was read out of Matthew today, do you believe the story? How many of us would check no? It's unanimous. We'd all say, hallelujah, I believe it. But it wasn't enough for Joseph just to believe it. In a dream, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, I know you still have concerns because this wasn't in the script, man. I get it, but don't limit God to a small understanding. I know you believe it, but with God all things being possible, would you take the next step? Would you believe it so much that you begin to live it out on a daily basis? See, that's where we can enter the emotion and the power of the text, because we deal with the same things Joseph was dealing with. No, we don't. Don't we? We believe it. And what exactly happens at the water cooler when we get a cup of coffee and someone opens the door for us to give just a small witness? What do? We believe. But do we take that step of action and actually say it? Mary could have taken a 30-second time out. She could have nixed it from the beginning. You're favored. I don't want to be favored. No, it's okay. You're going to have a child and you're going to call him Jesus. Let me get this straight. I'm not having a child. I want nothing to do with the Holy Spirit or whatever you're talking about. End of story. Now what? Now what? But surely she struggled. It didn't look like she thought it would. Would you agree? And she thought about it. I've done nothing to be favored. It's just God sort of exploding my understanding. And okay, Lord, in the completeness of my misunderstanding, as much as I can understand, I believe, and I'm going to take that step. Let it be to me according to your word. And Joseph was going to react like I would. Well, I'm not sure how I'd react. I think I'd probably lose my mind straight up. But Joseph must have processed it. The only thing worse for Joseph than someone noticing his espoused was pregnant would be to notice that his espoused was pregnant, ask how that happened, and then stand there while he answered. Oh, dude, no sweat. It's like this. Talking with Mary one day, and she came in. I'm like, woo. So, anything you want to share with me? Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's wild. The Holy Spirit came upon me, and I'm conceived of a child. I am pregnant. But it's no big deal. The Holy Spirit did it. And Joseph's like, wow, okay, that's kind of beyond my imagination, but no problem. Went to sleep, an angel appeared to me and said, hey, Joe, paraphrase. Joe, it's all good. Chill. Go ahead and marry her. Go ahead and work through the social stigma. Go ahead and work through the office folk. Go ahead and work through the political correctness. And when someone opens the door, take what you believe and the next step of action and say it or do it. He believed it, but he stepped into it. I'm not sure what this text is about. I'm really not. I mean, I know it's the presentation of the virgin birth. I get that. But we believed that before we got here this morning, didn't we? So what else you got? Maybe the story is about getting more than we expect. And that God takes our limited understanding, takes what it is that we believe, and empowers us to take the next step. I think that and a quarter. What if that is the question? I mean, we believe it. We've passed the secret ballots. They've all been counted. They're unanimous. Yes, we believe. But what if the real question this morning is, so? How would you respond? And we have a whole slate of a brand new year in front of us. I don't know about y'all. I'm just getting this out there. 30 years and a month ago? No way. Man, when I get your binoculars, hold them up one more time. I'll wait. Hold them up. Here you go. In a million years, did you see the landscape of your marriage that way? In a million years, did you see the birth of your firstborn that way? And if you did, how'd you respond? That's the question for us in the days ahead. And that's why the birth of Jesus, God with us, is so important. Because this story is unique to Mary and Joseph, isn't it? It's unique to Mary and Joseph. It'll never happen again. But the birth and the gift of the Christ child to us is what enables us to allow belief to be converted into action to the glory of God and to our great joy. Who'd have thunk it? Is that what you saw when you held up your metaphorical binoculars? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.